It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
Take five time. It's take command, but only 5 minutes long. Hope you enjoyed the preview episode, or if you're saving it for the weekend, enjoy our 45-minute preview of Commanders and Bengals. And then again, Tuesday morning after the game, obviously Monday night will be super late when it ends. So Tuesday morning, Grant Paulson going to join me for an instant reaction show. We slept on it, but it's still relatively instant reaction show. And then Logan and I will be back for the tape breakdown on Wednesday. But Logan, we want to talk about spamming receivers right now, is the way I'll phrase it. How do certain teams get their best guy 20 targets in a game? And why is it something that Terry McLaurin isn't used in that way? Why is it that he is not a receiver that is used in that way, considering he is clearly the best that Washington has? This is, I think, a question that's been ruminating in many fans' minds with Terry for many, many years. But as we see more and more teams, even the Giants last week against the Commanders, hitting Malik Nabers 18 times in the game. He's a rookie. How are teams able to do that first? And then maybe we can get to why multiple coordinators now have not chosen that path for Terry McLaurin.
I mean, obviously there's a game plan element to that, you know, finding ways to isolate your best player. You know, like there was a good little clip that John Gruden is now doing, like, online coaching seminars or whatever, talking about how there's a 3-by-1 and you isolate your best receiver on the backside and you can, you know, give him an individual signal. Like, I think about when Kyle was here with Pierre Garçon, like, he was a true kind of X body type. He ran routes like a true X. And so a lot of the concepts that we ran, whether it was play action, whether it was drop back, kind of fit his athletic skill set. And they would, you know, they'd use motion and shifts and formation to get him in a position where he could make plays. But he was a guy that just could win through good route running savvy and just straight horsepower, and could handle kind of, you know, I think he in 2000, I want to say 14, he led the league in receptions or something, 115. And that's how they did it, right? Every game, like, Pierre was going to get his touches, and a little bit of it's the quarterback too. You know, obviously, like, at the time, Robert wasn't seeing defenses super well. So you kind of had to ensure that his number one read was going to be open. And a good way to do that was put your best player there and let him win routes. So that's one way that they chose to handle that. And I felt like Daniel Jones, that's how he handled it with Malik Nabers against the Washington Commanders, is he was like, this is the best player, my best offensive weapon. I'm going to throw him the ball a lot. And, you know, he's going to get open. I can trust him to get open. And I think that's part of it. So, and then you look at, I don't know, receivers like Amon-Ra St. Brown, for example, who have the ability to win outside as like a Z, maybe not a true X, but a Z. And the thing that makes them so dynamic is that you can move them inside and outside. And I think that, and same thing with Malik Nabers, I think when you watch his route running ability, you can move him inside and outside. And I think with Terry, one of the things that at least we haven't seen from him necessarily lately is the ability to run routes from the inside and outside. Like, he's a very good route runner outside the, like, on the numbers basically, but inside, for whatever reason, he doesn't have kind of that short area quickness. So I think it kind of limits the approach that you can take with him in terms of targets. You know, like I mentioned the Pierre thing and how creative Kyle had to be to get him the football, but also Robert is forcing him the ball. You know, it's something that it was probably deleterious to the offense long term. I got a quick story. When I was in Chicago, Alshon Jeffrey was out for a couple of weeks, and he was kind of our big stud up there. And the offense was cooking really nicely. It was like, oh, you know, we were throwing for 300 yards. We were rushing for like in the high 90s. And then Alshon came back, and there was this concerted effort to force him touches. And it actually hurt our offense because we were, you know, ball's incomplete. He drops a pass. We're in second and 10. And it really forced it made the quarterbacks worse because they wouldn't get past their first read. They were trying to force the ball to that player. So I think that's another thing to consider too, is that there's a million ways to do it, right? And I think, you know, Terry's skill set as a receiver is more suited to the outside, which makes it more challenging. But also, like, it's not always good for an offense. Like, Malik Nabers getting targeted 18 times is a bad sign for that New York Giants offense, in my opinion, right? Because you have other players that can affect the game. So I think there's a couple ways to look at that there.
No, that makes sense. You know, the ball just getting distributed around a lot, as long as it's being completed, seems like the sign of a healthy offense. We see, like, the Niners getting the ball to everybody. You know, well, yes, Amon-Ra St. Brown gets a ton of targets. That Detroit offense, the backs, the tight ends, everyone gets involved with frequency. Same thing in Miami. Like, yeah, they want to get Tyreek the ball a lot, and specifically on some couple of deep shots per game, but they spread the ball around pretty good. I think it's also interesting you mentioned the skill set. Like, okay, well, what do you mean it's inside versus outside? Like, what differentiates a receiver there? And to hear the short area quickness, and I think about some of the times that Terry this season has lined up in the slot, because he has, not a ton, but like, you know, say 4 to 7 snaps a game, probably somewhere in that range. And some of the routes and things that he's run out of that, where it's these deep vertical routes or a slot fade, where it's still a kind of an outside-y type of route, right. Very, very vertical. It's not a, hey, let me get up in 10 yards and dice you up, or 5 yards quick. Even the way he runs his slants, like, it's kind of a power, like 1-2 bang, I'm inside, versus a quickness and a suddenness to his game. That said, whatever it's worth, I looked up his career stats in terms of targets, and pulled up his game log on Pro Football Reference, sorted by targets. The two games that he has the most targets in his career, one was a 31-17 loss to Baltimore in week 4 of 2020. He had 10 catches on 14 targets for 118 yards. He, against the Giants in week 2 of 2021, had 11 catches on 14 targets for 107 yards and a touchdown. So those, pretty efficient. 10 catches on 14, 11 catches on 14. But you look at then the next couple of games in terms of most targets, 13 targets against the Falcons in 2021. He only had 6 catches. Now, there were some long ones because he had 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then against the Lions, 12 targets, 5 catches, 72 yards. So the catch percentage there, under 40%. And a lot of these are kind of around that, 60% once you're getting up above 10 targets. So it is the kind of thing where if you look at the numbers beyond the top two, where he's got a 71 and a 78% catch percentage on his targets, that there is a lack of efficiency if you do target him that much, which on some level means, like, I would still try to get him a high volume because I want him to get his touches. And if it's going to take a few more targets, like, I want to make sure that my most explosive player has a chance to be explosive. But also, you understand from an efficiency standpoint why you don't go full Justin Jefferson, for instance.
Yeah, and I do think, like, I'm glad you brought up the name Justin Jefferson. Like, people are like, oh, he should be used the same way. But I think when you watch Justin Jefferson, like, he's special in how he runs routes and what he can do from the different spots on the field. Like, I think that's something that fans maybe undervalue, is the nuance of how Justin Jefferson runs around. Cause he's not super fast, but he's kind of, his ability to get to a base and kind of cross you up in the short area, get vertical, be strong at the catch point. He's earned that right over the course of his career because of how he wins at the catch point. You know what I'm saying? He wins at the catch point, and he can create space and separation. I think Terry's excellent in contested catch situations, but I think for new quarterbacks, sometimes, like, he's not always the best separator. Like you mentioned, like, when he runs slants, it's like a power slant, and there's usually a guy on him and he's kind of making a contested catch. Like, there's something, like, I did this 1 year, but looked up his, separation metrics. So I don't even know how they determine that, but he's not, by that metric, like,
yeah,
a great
separator.
Yeah,
he is not ranked well in those metrics ever.
And so, like, when you look at the top guys, the top receivers in the NFL, they're usually excellent separators. And it's because they have a little bit more nuance to how they approach the position and how they approach that process. And again, I'm not saying Terry's a bad player. I'm just saying his skill set, to me, does not always reflect, high volume usage. There are games where I'm like, give him the ball. Like, he's open, he's winning this matchup. But it's harder to scheme him up because of how he technically runs routes, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. And that's your wide receiver spamming 101 of why certain guys get it and why perhaps Terry does not. Although I do think it's really important this week against Cincinnati, and in general, he is your best player. Even if he's not master separator, even if he's not Justin Jefferson, if he's not Jamar Chase, if he's not these other guys, he's still really freaking good. Like probably a top 15 receiver in the league, and he is explosive as all hell. So let's get 17 the football. More preview, of course, if you haven't checked it out yet, in our full episode that dropped yesterday. And we'll be back on Tuesday morning for an instant reaction show with Grant Paulson. And then we tag team out the Paulsons. Logan's back in the chair as we get going for our film review on Wednesday. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And we'll see you next time on Take Command.